I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Bad seed, a broken date, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrella Palatial, right across the river into the woods from where Granny was just rolling up a fatty stick of that sativa Candyland 19%. That's all she said to me when she was drinking shots of JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do, be shake it, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High again tonight. Taylor just hit a two-run shot to right center. And it was the first hit of the game off of Blake Snell for the Dodgers. They trail 5-2. Of course, the damage from the bat of Brandon Lau. He hit a first inning solo shot to right center. And then in the bottom of the fourth inning, top of the fifth, he hit a two-run shot with Meadows aboard to left. That hit off the top of the wall and went into the seats, and it counted, and that made it 5-0. They were up 3-0 after a double from Wendell to right center, scored two more. They were up 1-0 on the Lau, then the Wendell double made it 3, and then the Lau shot to left made it 5, and then Taylor, the two-run shot to right, gets the Dodgers awake in the dugout. For the first time tonight after Snell had him eaten out of his palms, the guy was throwing a brilliant game. He hadn't given up a hit until the Taylor homer. He had 3 walks allowed, and that was it. And his stuff has been filthy tonight. The Rays still up 5-2.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So 5-2, two outs. Now he's let a couple guys on, Snell, and they're going to pull him. Cash goes to the bullpen. Two outs, runners on first and second. Those are huge base runners, Carver High. If the Dodgers, let's say, get a hit and make it 5-3, let's say somebody doubles, you make it 5-4, and then you got a game again. When it was 3-0, the way Snell was pitching, I thought it was over then, and then when it went to 5-0, I said, good night, Irene, and then you get the Taylor two-run shot to make it a game. But it's still, to me, 5-2, they're in complete control if they keep these two base runners from plating.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've got a game again here. I think the Dodgers, even if they don't get anything, and it's just 5-2 after 5, I think they're still in the mix. We saw it last night. They can score quickly. We haven't seen the Rays' big guns yet, so we're going to see them. You see Anderson starting to warm up. You're going to see all their best arms. Let's see if the Dodgers can get a couple off them here, because I don't think this game's ending 5-2.
Yeah, so you think the bullpen's going to open up a little bit, and we're going to see some damage here by the Dodgers at the very least?
I mean, it's possible. They've got good hitters. I also don't think that it's done on the Tampa side either. The Dodgers have a lot of outs to get as well. So I'm not sure either team is on the number that this game is going to end at right now. The Dodgers have brought in a couple. This is such a must win for the Rays. I mean, the Dodgers they've rolled all the hacks out here in these first five innings. You know, they Gosselin, they pull him in the second inning. They've pitched, all of their lower end guys.
Floro, Gonzalez.
And this is where these are the games the Rays have to win. They have a lead in the fifth inning. They have all their big arms rested. They have to win this game. Bottom line.
Dustin May was the one that gave up the two-run shot to Lau. Are you surprised, like I am, that Lau hit two home runs in this game when literally he's had two hits the entire postseason?
I mean, look, he wasn't going to be an absolute stiff forever. You don't expect the guy to hit two home runs either, but the guy was in a god-awful 2-for-37 or whatever it was. He's going to find a couple of hits here and there. He's too good of a player. I mean, he just is.
I still can't believe he hit two of them. I don't care how bad he was slumping. I didn't
both
think
the other way
two
too. He hit them both to left field also. Nice job by him.
Yeah, I guess. So later we're going to have Ed Kratz on from SI, the Eagle Maven. He covers the Eagles in Philadelphia. They're playing the Giants tomorrow night. As you know, there's only that tomorrow in one college football game. And Appalachian State's at home playing. All I know is this World Series will resume on Friday after tonight's game. And then if they get through this and they were able to win for Snell and even this series at ones, then it's Buehler against Morton on Friday night in Arlington. And who do you like there with those two great pitchers?
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. You're talking about the two best arms, arguably, in this series. You know, those are both the guys that you would probably consider the ones on each team. And you're going to get them in game three. And if it goes far enough, possibly game seven, too, if you line up the pitching correctly. So good matchup. Morton's been so good in these spots. But I want to see how tonight goes first. I think the Rays are done if they lose tonight, but let's see how this goes. I lean Morton, believe it or not, on Friday night.
So do I. I have to ask you, so you're going to the Cape Cod Open tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
And first of all, what does that entail? You're driving up there?
Yes, I'll be driving up there tomorrow late afternoon, probably about late afternoon, early evening. I'll start to head up.
How long is that drive?
It's about four hours and 15 minutes, right in that area.
Okay, so when you Thursday and Friday and Saturday, is it 3 days of golf?
Yeah, well, it's 3 days. I'm missing tomorrow. I'm not going to get to golf tomorrow. Just the way it worked out, Nicole, you know, originally couldn't get off tomorrow. Assorted state of affairs, but I'm only golfing Friday and Saturday. The second and third round.
Second and third round.
Saturday's the main. Saturday's championship Saturday.
Right. So you can't win the championship based on missing the first day?
No, Saturday, you just have to be in on Saturday to win the championship is just Saturday's rounds. Thursday and Friday are more, you know, fun / tune-ups, and then Saturday is the real deal. The green jacket, the trophy, the whole nonsense.
Right. So when you're done, like, so Friday, you'll golf this, like, pro-am type round, and then when you're done, you go to a bar, right? And so you get hammered, and you watch the World Series?
In the past, that's what would have went on. The world, and obviously everywhere, is a little bit different now. I don't think it's going to be the way it's been in the past when we're on this trip. It can be hard to put a whole bunch of people in a bar to watch the World Series game on Friday night. I think there's going to be a lot of separation, small groups, a couple guys here, a couple guys there. I don't think you're going to see everybody packing in to one place to go watch the World Series game. I think it's going to be different. And I'm trying to be pretty cautious of everything. And, it's going to be very, like I said, very different this year, like everything else in the world has been.
So wait, Anderson got him out of the jam with two on. He struck out Turner. Boom. That's it. 5-2. So I have to ask you, so what about you guys obviously stay at some place, right? Can you go out in the back patio? Do they got a barbecue pit or something where you can stand outside and drink?
Yeah, big outdoor area. Nice outdoor area. And it's supposed to be where, you know, we've had some bad weather the last couple of years. It's always hit or miss in October up in Cape Cod. But this year, you're looking at mid to high 60s on Friday and Saturday with no rain. We've been absolutely pelted with rain the last couple of years up there. So looks like some nice weather. There'll be some definitely needed this year outdoors situations. So, that's it. I'm it's going to be weird. It's going to be very weird, but it's the 50th anniversary. I think that if it wasn't the 50th anniversary and such a big thing this year, a lot of guys probably would have sat it out and or maybe not had it at all. But this is a big big milestone for this, for my family and everything like that. So we had to do it.
So why is it a milestone for your family? Isn't it just a bunch of dudes?
No. My grandfather and his brothers started this tournament 50 years ago, Cape Cod. Cape Cod Irish Open, Sean Henshaw Memorial. Started a, you know, like I said, they all moved over here from Ireland, and a couple of the brothers scattered, and one of them lived in Cape Cod, so they all went up there every year and got together, played golf, etc. And as the years went on, more and more people got added to it. I probably started going when I was 21, 22, right in that area. So this will be, I believe, I had to miss one or two in the last few years, but I think my 15th or 16th year going or something like that.
Are some of them communist Boston Red Sox fans?
No, I mean 95% of the people going are from here. You know, they're from New York or Long Island. There's really only my one uncle, one of my grandfather's brothers lived up there. So just his family was up there. Everybody else travels from different areas. So pretty much like I said, most crowd from here.
Does the family that live up there root for Boston teams?
Yes. My Uncle Christy is a Red Sox fan.
Oh. Then we don't like him very much.
Well, you know, it is what it is. He's been up there a long time.
Unacceptable.
Yes, it's tough. Being a Reds, you know, you don't like it. But we've been up there. Think about it. In the last 15, 20 years, we're always up there in mid to late October. So we've had to deal with some serious Red Sox playoff runs while we've been up there. So
they were showing Carlton Fisk home runs tonight. They've been showing just what I needed to see on a Wednesday night. You know what I mean? I just don't need to see that. That's 1975. Rear view mirror, son. Ed Kratz will join us next to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles game with the Giants.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all on the bench, Ed Kratz is Eagle Maven on SI and SI.com. Ed, how you doing, brother? Good to have you on the bench.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me back.
My man. So, you know, Doug Peterson has been really good on Thursday nights. We know that since he got the job. They don't lose. They're 5-0, I think the number is. That's crazy. I have to ask you, though. I mean, obviously, that's a nice run and a nice trend for sure. But they are absolutely, like, in, like, a hospital. They got so many injuries. They're, like, literally in the ER. They got so many guys down. Now, I know they're allegedly getting Jackson back. And is Lane Johnson as well? I can't keep track of all their injuries.
Yeah, they're supposed to get those two guys back. But, you know, the question with Deshaun, as it always is how long is he going to play? I mean, five snaps, 10 snaps before something else happens? I mean, he just has not been healthy since they brought him back here last year. So you don't know what you're going to get out of him. He's going to try to play. I don't know for how long. And the same with Lane Johnson. You know, he's kind of been gutting through this. You know, he had ankle surgery in August. He's had swelling in this ankle. He's been battling that through the first 6 weeks of the season. They shut him down for a game on Sunday to give him a little rest. And, you know, when he's played, he hasn't made it through the whole game. And they've had to bring in a rookie, Jack Driscoll, who he's hurt now. So they're down to their sixth offensive tackle in Brett Toth, who played the final 17 snaps on Sunday when Jack Driscoll got hurt. So Lane's going to give it a shot, but we'll see how long he goes, too.
So let's go back to Deshaun Jackson for a minute. Now, I've said on the TV show Coast to Coast that I think that, you know, there's no doubt the guy certainly had it at one point, for sure. He, you know, was a big game player. He made a lot of tremendous, you know, catches in his career and kicks and run backs and all the rest. He's done it all. So there's no denying that he was really good for sure. I don't dispute that. But I do have a massive problem with him now. Like, what a gigantic waste of time this guy has been. You're right. Since he came back and they brought him back, he's peanut brittle. I mean, I don't know who gets injured more than him in all of sports. Like, name one guy. Seriously, that like I can't even like even Giancarlo Stanton plays more than Deshaun Jackson. They pay him tons of money. The guy never plays. His legs are shot. I mean, he tears his hamstrings when he gets out of bed in the morning. He's got calf problems, everything else. Why doesn't he just retire, for Christ's sakes? He's finished.
Yeah, well, you know, he wants to keep going for as long as he can, but maybe this is the end. Certainly it's the end. Here in Philadelphia, I would say. I know he signed for next year, but the Eagles are going to get out of that contract and they're going to move on. In fact, they probably should have moved on already. You know, they got this kid, Travis Fulgham. Maybe you heard of him. I mean, he's kind of been lights out here these last 3 weeks. He's got three touchdown catches in the last three games. He's, you know, they're probably close to being their leading receiver by now, close to 300 yards in these three games. And, you know, right now he's looking like the number one receiver, and you're going to just take whatever Deshaun can give you at this point. And you hope that maybe, you know, some defenses still think that he can run and they're going to try to cover him, and that'll open up the field for some of these other guys that the Eagles have. But you're right. I mean, he's shot, but he's had a terrific career. You know, he leads the NFL, in the most 60-plus yard touchdowns in the NFL history with 24, even one more than Jerry Rice. So, you know, he's a big play guy, and you hope that, you know, he's got another one or two big plays left in him if you're the Eagles, because, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting when you can hit the deep ball. And we'll see. I mean, you know, I don't know why he's not going to retire, but certainly retirement's staring him in the face at this point. 33 years old now, 13 years in the league. It's time.
Do you think that he could actually play two games in a row or three? I mean, seriously. Do you think he could actually do it, like play a game and then play another one?
Has Stanton done that?
He has. He had all those home runs in the. He had all the home runs in the early rounds of the playoffs. He did great, and then I'm sure once spring training rolls around again, he'll be in an ice tub.
Well, that's probably where Deshaun is right now as we speak, getting ready. You know, I mean, he didn't break out the hyperbaric chamber that we saw Terrell Owens get climb into back, you know, when he was with the Eagles in 2004. And played in that Super Bowl on one leg, basically,
right,
because he was sitting in a hyperbaric chamber. But, I, you know, whatever it takes for these guys to get back on the field. Can he play two games in a row? I really question if he can. I you know, I'll only believe it when I see it.
Do you, like, it's got to be uncomfortable, doesn't it, at some point, like, seeing him around the you know, facility and seeing him in the clubhouse? How he just rakes the money and he never plays. Like, it's got to be like, do you think young guys are like on the team are like, yo, what's up with this cat? He's making all that cheddar and he never plays. I got to figure out how he does this. Like, is he like do people freak out when they see him because he never plays? He never does anything. All he does is make tons of money and never plays. Like, I'd be like tripping if I saw him at work. I'd be like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. And we've seen him at practice, you know, we occasionally at practice, we'll see him doing individual drills and you think, you know, he looks good. He looks fine. He's moving well. He's, you know, he's making all the catches, he's making all the cuts. And then, you know, they kick us out after about 15, 20 minutes of watching, you know, individual drills and stretching and that, you know, kind of the worthless stuff. But, so we don't see the rest of practice. I don't know what he's doing in the rest of practice or how his teammates are looking at him. But, you know, you could say the same thing about Alshon Jeffrey. You know, here's a guy that had surgery, you know, 10, 11 months ago on his Lisfranc injury that he had last December. Right. Same deal. He's not back on the field either. And he goes through the same individual drills as Deshaun. And he looks okay. He looks fine. I'm not a doctor. I can't say for sure if they have any pain, but they look good.
I am.
I don't know.
I'm a doctor. Dr. Farrell.
Okay.
I'm on General Hospital weekdays at 3 on ABC. I have to tell you, I think how in God's name can you explain to me someone, I should ask Dr. Chow, my guy on the TV show from Pro Football Doc. How is it? Because I've broken every bone in my body. I've had 50 surgeries, right? I'm like a walking like medical book for like college med students. Here's the deal. I've never seen anyone ever break their foot and take a G damn year to heal. Like who in the right mind? I broke my foot. I broke both feet. It takes 8 weeks and you're out of the boot. I know a guy, listen to this. I know a guy that you want, hold on. All right, we got it. I got to tell this story when Ed, we lost Ed for a second. So I want to tell him this story. I think it's very important that I tell this story. So in the interim, I just wanted to say, Choi, they got a sacrifice fly to get a run in. It's now 6-2. All right, so I don't know where I lost you, but what I was saying is that I have broken every bone in my body, right? So I know a thing or two about surgeries and about injuries. So listen, I played basketball with this dude, right? And I don't like him or anything else, but he broke his foot, right? So here comes this guy and he shows up to play in the hood with a broken foot boot on, you know, those plastic broken foot boots. And the guy played basketball in the hood on hardtop in the city, in the hood, played with a broken foot. And then one day he showed up with the boot off and he had like gotten out of the boot. And then the guy was just in his tennis shoes and he was limping around. And I'm like, I said to him, I go, bro, are you seriously? You're still like playing on this broken foot. And then like a week later, I see the guy and he's literally got a cast on his foot from his toes to his onions. And I'm like, I guess it wasn't that good of an idea to play on the broken foot, huh? So here's the moral of the story. I broke mine. I broke both of them. It took 8 weeks, right? And then it's like over. And how is this guy still like not playing a year later after breaking his foot? Like, what's he been doing? Smoking bowls? I don't get it. Like, how is a guy out 10 months with a broken foot? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's a mystery. But, you know, that's a great story, Scott. I'm surprised the competitor in you didn't go after him, go after that weakness, you know, try to maybe step on his toe a little bit, you know, as you're driving by him to the hoop.
I scored at will on him. He couldn't jump at all, and he was short to begin with. And then I talked a lot of bad things about his mother to him. And then all these other people are like, I don't want to play with some guy with a broken foot. I said, I do. Like, I'll take advantage of some guy with a broken foot guarding me. I can guarantee you that.
Absolutely.
But listen, I don't understand. I really don't understand their injuries. It's baffling to me. Now, I want to ask you about more. So I want to talk more with you. Like, can you hang out for another segment, Ed?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
All right. So I have like 1 minute right now. So I just want to say this. Like when the game was announced, whatever, and the line came out, it was like 6.5. And I was like, I was on the Giants at 6.5. A day later and a dollar short, it was down to 3.5. And now it's at like 4.5. I said today that I thought that 4.5 number is very dangerous. I liked it at 6.5. Didn't like it at 3.5 if you're a buyer. And then at 4.5, I start thinking, you know, maybe that's not the worst number in the world. It is a dangerous number for me for the Eagles to cover 4.5. And I think the Eagles are, frankly, better than the Giants. I think their quarterback's better. I think their ability to score is, I think, better than the Giants as well. But I will say this. They're so injured and so banged up, and they got so many guys that aren't, you know, frankly, supposed to be playing that are, you know, substitutes playing for your starters. Like the whole team is like not even normal. I think the Eagles, this team they're putting out there for me is just like it's secondary. It's like their second and third units that they're going with. So I have my druthers about like I'm not really confident in the Eagles. They should win this game. He never loses on Thursdays, but all that's nonsense. They're either going to get it done or they aren't. We're going to talk more with Ed Kratz from SI on the bench. So Will Smith hit a homer to left. Some guy caught it. Some fan caught it. He was sitting there with two women, his wife and mother or something, and the guy made a great snag falling backwards. Then when he caught it, he threw his glove onto the field, almost plucked Margot in the head. Lucky for him, they gave him the glove back. Margot threw it back up into the stands. He was just playing like he was going to throw the ball back, but he threw his glove instead. But he made a nice catch of that home run ball. 6-3 now, Tampa. We got Ed Kratz, our good friend from Philadelphia, on from SI.com, Eagle Maven. So let me ask you, you heard what I was saying before, obviously, like, yeah. You know, I don't trust them. But like, look, I had them last week against the Ravens. I had the Ravens to win. I took the Eagles in the 7. They backdoored it, covered. They almost tied the game. They almost won the game. What am I supposed to believe about this football team? Like, I don't trust them as far as you can spit. Are they good or are they not?
Well, let me tell you a couple things I like, Scott. And don't, you know, I don't want to try to talk you into taking the action at -4.5 because I don't want you to call me Sunday night if they don't cover and, you know, give me a hard time about it. But I like what I like about the Eagles.
I laid 3.5.
Okay. Well, listen, they scored 29 points against the Steelers, 28 against the Ravens. All right, those are two of the better defenses in the NFL, and they found a way to put up a lot of points. Their defense let them down, of course, but I don't think the Giants have the kind of firepower that if the Eagles can hit 28, the Eagles are going to win the game because I don't think the Giants can score that much. But I like that part of it. I like the fact that they scored 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter against Baltimore, 22 points they put up to make that comeback, and Baltimore had only given up 23 points in the fourth quarter all year. So I like the momentum that they're coming in with. I like the way Carson Wentz has kind of rebounded from an early, some struggles early in the season. He's using his legs more. He's getting outside the pocket. That 40-yard run he had against the Ravens, man, that was tough. And if you're his teammate, you're looking at that at like, man, that dude, he's playing. You know, I have to elevate my game to match that, because I don't know if you saw it, but, I mean, he had a chance to duck out of bounds a couple times. But, you know, Wentz took on tackles. He turned upfield, and he gained 40 yards. Just a great play. He's had four rushing touchdowns this year. Okay, that's a career high. And then I also like, finally, I like Jalen Hurts, the rookie. He came in, gave him a spark against Baltimore, picked up 20 yards, gave him the first down of the game, 5 minutes left in the second quarter on that 20-yard run. And I think the Eagles see that they can do things with Jalen Hurts when he's on the field. He played 7 snaps against Baltimore. I'm expecting that number to rise, and I think they're going to try to find ways to design plays where maybe you're not necessarily using him to run it, but maybe you're faking to him, you're play-actioning to him, you're fake pitching it to him. You're doing some different things within the offense to kind of keep that defense off balance. So those are a few things I like about the Eagles going
into. Well, look, I think they should use him way more. Listen, I have gone on record as saying I like him a lot. I liked him at Alabama. I liked him even more at Oklahoma. And I like his prospects in the NFL. I think the guy... It's unbelievable to me, frankly, how he gets this nonsense about, oh, he'll never amount to anything as a NFL quarterback. That's hilarious to me, because I got to tell you, you know, it was Hurts that won the big games for Alabama, not Tua. It was Hurts that saved their ass. At Oklahoma, the reason they made it to the playoff was because of him. He's a great quarterback in college, and I think he'll be a good quarterback in the NFL. And I think people are always saying, oh, he'll never amount to anything. I think he already is amounting to something. It's amazing to me the negativity about Jalen Hurts, because how can you question that guy's heart or his abilities when you've seen him play at the highest levels in the SEC and in the Big 12, in the highest level? He's always in big games, the Georgia SEC championship game that he saved, the you know, playoff game with Oklahoma. I mean, what does this guy have to do to convince all these drunks and losers that think he's not good, and even media people that are, well, also drunks and losers that, you know, think that he's not good? I mean, honestly.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, I see a lot of ability in him. And, you know, even his first completion, he's thrown one pass and he completed it for 18 yards. And it was a nice throw down the middle of the field to tight end Richard Rodgers. He's only thrown that one pass. But, yeah, I just think that right now he's probably the second best running back on the team behind Miles Sanders. But I don't think they're going to use him, you know, as a running back to carry. But I don't think they're going to hand off to him in the traditional way that you would would normally hand off to a running back. They'll use him out of the wildcat and have him run that. But right now, he's the second best running back on this team. And that to me, and I talk about the good things I like about the Eagles, that to me is a concern Thursday night, is this running game. They really don't – they're not going to have Miles Sanders. You're down to Boston Scott, who, you know, killed the Giants twice last year. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. In the season finale, had 3 touchdowns against him. He's got 266 yards from scrimmage in 4 games against New York. But this offensive line does not seem to run block very well, you know, at least consistently. I mean, they can pick up yards in spurts, but, you know, the run game's a concern, and they're not going to use Hurts. They're going to use Boston Scott. Corey Clement looks like, you know, kind of a shot fighter. I don't know how that happened so quickly with him, but he hasn't really given them much. So are they going to be able to run the ball against this Giants defense? I don't know. And then that's going to put the onus on Wentz again. And, you know, they can make some plays in the passing game. This Travis Fulgham kid, I'm telling you, he looks like the real deal to me.
So do you think, Ed Kratz with us from Eagle Maven, do you think that Wentz gets too much abuse for their record? Like he gets the brunt of the heat. And I think the remaining, like the leftovers are Peterson. You know what I mean? Like the two of them just, because the people there, you know, I live there. So like I get some kind of, you know, I used to work with YSP and the Eagles and do all this stuff in Philly. Yeah. So I have some experience, you know, around and living there to know that they are evil, unholy, vicious drunks that love to fist fight and just get hammered drunk and smoke fat blunts. And they go to the games. Their abusive language is just fantastic. But do you think that the two of them take way too much heat for their record. Like, they, I've heard this guy Wentz, by the time they were done with him this year, the guy might as well go back to college and start over. And then Peterson, when they're not abusing Wentz, they're abusing him.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the nature of the football life, though? Is it's always the quarterback. It's always the coach that gets too much blame when they lose and too much credit when they win. And then you can throw the general manager in there, too, Howie Roseman. You know, the Wolves are at his door. You know, for some of the draft classes that he's had recently and some of the decisions he's made. So it's really those three are always, I think, in most cities, that's the case. But, you know, you're right about Carson. They were ready to throw him out. And, you know, bringing Jalen Hurts in certainly didn't help. You know, everybody, the most popular guy on the team is the backup quarterback. So, you know, fans are looking at that and saying, well, look, we saw Nick Foles do it. And that probably didn't do Carson any favors when Nick Foles came in late in the 2017 season and captured lightning in a bottle and took the Eagles to a Super Bowl. So, you know, Wentz has a lot of I don't think he's ever going to win over the entire fan base unless he wins a Super Bowl. And maybe not even then will he do that. And I'm not sure why, just because he's a quarterback and yeah, that's the way it goes. But
listen to him. He can win the Super Bowl and they still won't like him. Like, are you kidding me? Like, what does that say at all? Like, they don't like Santa Claus. And if you win the Super Bowl, they don't like you either. Like, then, and then they want to sit there and tell you their fat girlfriend's good looking. Like, I mean, it is bent there. Believe me, when I lived there, I was like, this place is bent. I mean, these fans are nuts. Yeah, like, I used to do like the pregame show in the parking lot. I thought I was going to get hit in the head with a rock.
I'm surprised you didn't. You didn't? It's a surprise you didn't. Are you kidding?
Let me ask you, do you think that they're going to trade Zach Ertz because they haven't got a deal done with him? And it seems like they're just now he's like banged up and they're like I feel like they're going to screw him over.
Well, I'm going to say yes. I think they're going to shop him before the trade deadline. Now he's hurt. He's going to miss, you know, 3 weeks or so. And that, you know, the trade deadline is November 3rd. But I really think they're going to shop him. I think they're going to try to unload him. It's very clear Ertz is not happy with – I mean, you just see it in his body language. I mean, if you've seen the Eagles play, I mean, he just – you know, he's. I think he's bringing the whole team down, frankly. And he just doesn't look happy. I know for a fact he isn't happy. And the Eagles aren't going to redo his deal. So why not part ways with him right now? You know, Dallas Goedert's hurt, so it depends when he comes back, but he will be back. He broke his ankle last month. But the Eagles want to get away from this 12 personnel package that they've been using for the last few years. They want to go with more of the 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, and get away from this two tight end stuff. So you really only need Dallas Goedert and a serviceable backup, and they might have that in Richard Rodgers and even this Jason Kroom guy. You know, he caught a touchdown pass. He played one snap against the Ravens, and somehow the Ravens forgot to cover him. He's standing all by himself in the corner of the end zone, and Wentz hits him. It looked like a fan came out of the stands and put an Eagles uniform on, and he's just standing there. Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. It's like, what?
I saw it.
Yeah, it was amazing. He's that wide open, and then he caught it. So anyway, I think, yeah, they're going to probably trade Ertz. I really do. And you know, I see it happening. I really do. And I see it happening before the trade deadline.
So your backup breaks his ankle. If that were Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson, they'd be out till 2024. Guy breaks his ankle. He's out for 4 years. I mean,
honestly. Checks. That's a bad look for those two guys.
All right. So what I said the other night was, I think maybe yesterday or something I said, or last night on the show, I said that, look, you can say whatever you want about him, but for some reason, they're like, the Eagles are, I think, they're going to come out of this. I actually think at the end of the day, they're playing in all these tight games and playing all these close games, Pittsburgh, Ravens, all the rest. They're scoring a lot, not getting any real results. You know, they tied the Bengals, whatever it was. They've had all kinds of problems, right? So, but I think that the Cowboys actually do suck. And I know for sure that Washington and the Giants are automatic. So I think the Eagles will find a way to win tomorrow. Then I think they're going to find a way when it's all said and done to win enough to win that division. I think they'll be the one that comes out of it. Don't you?
Well, yeah, I think you have to look at some of these guys coming back from injury. You know, they're not going to get Brandon Brooks back on the offensive line. He's gone. And that's, to me, the whole offensive line is one of the biggest issues on this team. And if they, you know, and I know Jason Peters didn't really look good when he was playing at left tackle. He might have had one good game in the four that he played. But if he comes back and they put him at guard, and they keep that Jordan Mulata guy out there. I mean, have you seen Jordan Mulata? The guy's a mountain. He's 6'8", 350 pounds. And he's looked good. I mean, he was an Australian rugby player his whole life, never played football. The Eagles drafted him in 2018, and I was there after his first practice. He told me he didn't even know how to put his helmet on for the first day of practice. He couldn't even figure out his shoulder pads. And now he's just starting left tackle. But he's played well. So I think the Eagles, if they can get healthy and they can get some of these guys back, Miles Sanders, I still think the running game's kind of a mess. They need help more than just Miles Sanders. But I think if they can figure out ways to use Jalen Hurts creatively, and they've got, 20 different assistant offensive coaches on this staff, they should be able to do it. So if they can figure that out, get some of these guys healthy, I think that they could be the best team in the NFC East. And it's a low bar. I mean, you say that and they're going to win 7 games, but I still think they're the best. And you're right. I think that, that the Cowboys, they're off the rails down there. They're ripping the coaches now, and that's never a good look. And the Giants, they don't have enough talent. Washington, they don't even have a quarterback that they can count on. I think it's the Eagles' division to lose, even at 1-4-1, as hard as it is to believe, I think they are, will prove to be the best. They will prove to be the best team.
All right, Ed, great stuff. Enjoy the game tomorrow. Always good catching up, brother. I'll be in touch, and stay healthy. All right, bro. And be careful of those rock throwing Eagle fans.
Yeah. Watch out for batteries, buddy.
There he is. Ed Kratz, Eagle Maven from SI.com. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Taylor's up. He hit a 2-run homer in the fifth. It's 6-3 Tampa over the Dodgers in the bottom of the seventh. One out already. Fairbanks is pitching for the Rays. You know, I'll be surprised if they don't finish this game off. And I got to tell you, I think Friday is a huge chance for them to take a 2-1 lead in this series with Charlie Morton. Again, I believe that Morton has never lost a playoff game with the Rays since he's been with the Rays. I think it's either 4 or 5 games. The guy has been phenomenal. He won that game 7 against the Astros to get him here. This guy is no joke. And I think Buehler's impressive as well. The one thing about Buehler that bothers me is his willingness to walk batters. And, obviously he doesn't want to give up hits. He'd rather walk you. So he walks guys, right? Like you've seen him walk 5 or 6 guys, and it's like it doesn't even faze him. But that phases me. You know what I mean? As a better, the guy just lets people on base, and not intentionally, but he'd rather throw junk and not have you hit it and walk a guy than to give you stuff, meat over the plate. Right. So I think Charlie Morton can beat him. Charlie Morton doesn't give you anything. Not only does he don't walk. He strikes people out and he gives you nothing to hit. I mean, he's unbelievable with his off-speed stuff. He just makes you look like an idiot there with your knees buckled at the plate. But look, tonight it's the same thing. Blake Snell had him absolutely crossed up. None of them could hit him. This guy, Taylor, finally got a 2-run shot off him that got him out of the game. But the bottom line is nobody did. But that was the only hit he gave up. I mean, I think he gave up one hit. The whole time he pitched, I just, honestly, Carver High, you can't deny, I thought he was brilliant. So, we'll come back. I want to talk about a lot of stuff, including this Pat Chambers story at Penn State.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.